Everybody, welcome to a Tuesday Porch Line, the Bulldog Hour. Gunnar alongside will take you 3 o'clock, hand it off to our great friend Phil Benatti, his fine show behind the bench. Bring you to six. Baseball both stations begin tonight. Same bat time, same bat channels for both. The Giants, who have lost seven straight to the D-backs, will try not to make it eight tonight. And over on 790, the A's will play another home game where it sounds like a Dodger home game. Don't get started at the same time. I'll tell you all about the schedules for both stations in a couple of minutes. By the way, Gunner, if you can turn down Brian Johnson for me, I'd appreciate it. I love AC/DC, but shook you all night long. I just don't need it for the rest of the show, if that's okay. Anyway, I want to go ahead and bring Jackson up in just a couple of minutes here. And before we do that, we will go ahead and acknowledge our great sponsors. When we go over the schedule, I'll tell you about Precision Civil Engineering and our great friend Ed Dunkel. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedules, I will tell you all about the great fundraising Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Again, Gunner, if you can go ahead and turn down the intro song, I'd really appreciate it. It'll help me a great deal. Also, before we bring Jackson up, I want to get to our other lead dogs, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. They afford me the time each and every day to tell you all about the weather in town, and Lee's has been with us for a good long time. I really appreciate their sponsorship. You see the avocado green all over the place. They have been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. And again, thank them for allowing me the time every day to tell you about the weather. If you need more information, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, you can give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. As far as the forecast goes, we mentioned it yesterday. You can't complain right now as we roll into July tomorrow. And, of course, the 4th of July coming up on Saturday with the actual holiday, as far as the federal holiday on Friday. 91 today, a low of 62, not quite as breezy as it was yesterday. And then we'll go 92, 92, 94, and then 97 is the forecast for the 4th of July. Then 98 on Sunday, and then next week we'll go 97, 98, 198 in the extended, so a little bit more seasonal by the time we get to the weekend. But right now, really nice temperatures, and with those lows in the 60s, nothing to complain about. We know this. Once we hit July, usually it's time to look out. I brought this up many times before. The great native son of the Valley of Fresno, Bill Vukovich Sr., the greatest IndyCar driver in history, won the race in 53 when it was the hottest day in Indy, and that was the time when, you know, there's no cool suits. You had those front engine cars and a lot of heat coming at you and oil and everything else, and I told you a lot of guys were tapping out. They couldn't go 500 miles, and Vuki pulled in after winning, and the pit reporter said, "Vuki, you look like you can do another 500. And he said, "Hey, this isn't heat. Heat is driving a tractor in Fresno in July." So nothing to complain about as we end June today and head to July tomorrow with the low in the 60s and the high at 91 and then 92. Anyway, thanks again to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for affording me the time to talk about the weather. 825-5337, 825-LEES or leesair.com on the web. The final reminder comes courtesy of our longtime friend and great Bulldog benefactor, and that is Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Affords me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. As far as his business goes, it's over at 4529 North Marley Avenue in town, Suite 103. You can always give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Or you can go to the web for more information, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. Terrific business. If you're working around a valve, you know how important the valves are to your productivity. If one starts to go down, your business can go down with it in a big hurry. one of the great aspects of Joe's business is, whether you're a plant maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, someone who works around a boiler, somebody to dairy, anybody who works around those valves, if you have a problem, you give Joe a call, you get an answer right, you don't get stuck on voicemail. And if you stop in, he'll give you a personalized service. He'll do it over the phone as well, but he'll first listen to your needs, analyze the situation. If it's a minor proposition, it'll be a seamless transition back to full song. If it's already a big problem, set about the way to get things back up and running as quickly as possible. Same day estimate, same day service, family friendly business. And when he's done addressing your issues, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you what he has done as a benefactor at Fresno State for over 3 decades, and will point you right now to the best way to go about donating to Fresno State, which is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. Club Red is under that header. That's for former student athletes to get involved. The major giving societies have their link. That's where you'll find the Green V Society and the Myers Champion Circle. Then under Ways to Give, you'll find the very important Valley Co-op, which is the matching funds entity there. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, Quarterback Club for football, Timeout Club for men's basketball. Jack Ferdy with me every Wednesday to talk basketball. He'll be with me tomorrow. He's on the board of directors of the Timeout Club. He said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. It's a great social organization and a lot of inside information from the coaches during the meetings. Jack has said if you want more information about pricing and everything else, you can hit him up on his email at ferdyjack@AOL.com or give him a call directly on his cell, which is 559-287-3305. You'll also find links for other men's and women's sports there. For instance, Dugout Club is there for baseball. And those links for the women's sports there as well under Ways to Give. And then finally, under the singular header, More, you'll find just that, more information, all events on campus, tickets and parking, and a way to order, whether it's your iPhone or through Android phone. So it's kind of one-stop shopping there at GoBulldogs.com. And I do want to mention, beginning tomorrow, we start our formal relationship as the flagship of Fresno State Athletics on both 1430 and 790. And Bulldog Sports Enterprises enters that partnership with the university, which means Chris, everybody at the station, trying to drive things forward at Chris's alma mater and my alma mater and a lot of the folks at the station, Fresno State, with this partnership, local, helping local. If you want more information, you can talk to Chris or Ryan or Enrique or Nico, anybody at the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com, and you can find phone numbers and ways to get involved and have your business benefit Fresno State through Bulldog Sports Enterprises. And we look forward to the great season coming up as we kick it off September 4th at the Coliseum against USC. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, allowing me the time to tell you about Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Tell you more about Ed and his business when we go over the schedules for both stations later on. And thanks to our longtime buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And always reach them at leesair.com or 825-533-7825. Lee's, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. And now on the Lee's Air Hotline, and mark this one down, it's how you can give Gonzo a call in the morning, Phil a call in the afternoon, 559-320-1430. It is our great friend, longtime de facto co-host, the king of the barkboard himself, Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I am hanging in there, Jackson, still battling the allergies, but that's part and parcel of this time of year, and I'm just glad to be on the air with you as always, and a lot to talk about today. I do want to start, and I mean this sincerely because I give you a hard time about the fact that you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan and you guys hit hard times. But you're rebounding nicely, and I'm not kidding when I say you had a really good draft. In fact, you guys moved Ja Morant was probably a good idea, and I want to ask you, you feeling a level of optimism in a brutally difficult Western Conference for your beloved Grizzlies, or do you want them back in Vancouver where they belong?
You know, I'm okay with them in Memphis. I was happy they moved Ja Morant. I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to pull it off, and fortunately they found someone interested after some difficult couple of years, the last couple of years with him. But it's a nice young core, and it's a new page, and a lot of NBA teams, that's about all you can hope for until it all comes together. So we'll see if they can pull it off here in the next few years and build towards something meaningful.
Well, I would just suggest that the ownership in Portland does not have hard liquor and handgun night. I'm just telling you, I think that would be a very bad promotion. All right. And just my piece of advice, that and the fact that I still think Usher is his dad. Am I right about this? That it's a big bluff? Because I'm telling you, I haven't seen Usher and Ja's father in the same building at the same time. I hope he goes well for him. As I told you off air, that's going to be the all defensive team with Damian Lillard coming back. It'll be 145, 144 every night for a really good up-and-coming Blazer team. All right, I'll also ask you, since I got a million emails about it, and I've talked about the last couple of days, did you want to prognosticate at all about where LeBron is going to land? We know he's not going to stay with the Lakers. The trading deadline or the deadline is coming up in the next 45 minutes for free agency to go ahead and take the wraps off of things and be official of Kawhi being dealt, of course, in a trade just before that to Toronto. That's not a surprise as he goes back there. But LeBron, in theory, could say something 45 minutes from now. I'm quite sure he won't. But do you want to take a guess? Is he going to, like I said, be part of my beloved Warriors, the over-the-hill gang rides again? Or is he going to head back to Cleveland? Is he going to Miami? Is he going somewhere else? What are you going to tell me?
I don't know. It's got to be somewhere that's already built or somewhere with the cap space to build something. And the ones you listed would probably be the same type of franchises that I'd be watching for him. But we'll see where he goes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Phil will have a lot more on it when he comes up at 3 o'clock, because at that point, the free to make things public if they choose to. From a Warrior perspective, and I will answer this for James and Clovis and Phil and Tim and Max and Mac, two different guys, by the way. As long as they're not, and I brought up the other day, as long as they're not going to mortgage the future, which means, as I told you, go after old street clothes, Anthony Davis. As long as they don't do that, where it will cost them first round draft choices, and they'd also be facing his Max contract desire of about $160 million in a couple of years. If they want to ride with this group that they have now with Porzingis in there at a reasonable price and Horford coming back, and Butler would be back because he wouldn't have to be traded if they don't bring Davis in. If they want to do this and LeBron wants to come in, that's fine. I don't know that he'll be willing to do it. I know he may be playing for as little as $6 million, somewhere between $6 and $15 million, which is very, very minimal. Of course, he's almost a billionaire right now. But as long as they don't mortgage the future, Jackson, it would be very entertaining, and I know the league would love it. We'll see what they do about it in the ensuing days. LeBron may go back to Cleveland. He may go to Miami. He may go somewhere else. But I know he would enjoy playing with Curry. Obviously, they had a great time in the Olympics. Of course, Anthony Davis played on that team too, and Steve Kerr was his coach. The amazing thing about it is if LeBron decides to go to the Warriors and they don't make any other move, do you know, Jackson, there would be five future first-round Hall of Famers on that roster with LeBron and Steph and Draymond and Al Horford and Jimmy Butler and a Hall of Fame coach in waiting in Steve Kerr, and they still might not be good enough to get out of the first round of the playoffs. What does that tell you about the Western Conference, right? Your Grizzlies are going to fare very well is what I'm telling you, okay? So. All right, we'll see what happens. Like I said, Phil will have a lot more on it as news breaks. I think LeBron's going to take his sweet time. He sort of likes the attention. You might have noticed that when he made the decision to go to Miami. All right. Well, that's enough in email land. Again, guys, I have to answer it over air because I just can't answer it privately until I get all this physical stuff sorted out myself. Okay, Jackson, let's get started with Fresno State. You put the 21 commits on the board for 2027. You and I have talked about this the last couple of weeks. How impressed are you by what Matt Entz and this coaching staff has been able to do for next year?
Yeah, very impressed. The local hall that they've got here is about as deep as I can recall seeing, especially at wide receiver. You've got four really, really talented wide receivers, all from the Valley. It's, you just don't see that in the class. And you know, there's usually probably not that many options to go for. And if there were, you know, you probably lose a couple of them that you'd like to keep around. So they've really hit it on a lot of different fronts here. They've got about six out of the top 10 kids from the Valley staying home. Really only one is going to a Power 4 program over Fresno State. There's a couple of kids, Visalia, Bakersfield, that aren't necessarily originally from the Valley that are going elsewhere. So everyone centrally located, they kept, except for Xavier Jones, who over the weekend committed to San Diego State, which could be a fun storyline of the corner if he does play cornerback there. For the Aztecs, and the Bulldogs have Bayon Harris and Rolando Jefferson playing against him at wide receiver down the road. That could be a fun storyline, unless the Bulldogs can change his mind before signing day. But it's a solid class that addressed just about everything so far except for the defensive backfield, where a couple of commits have gotten away. You know, if they can find a couple of cornerbacks and a couple of safeties here between now and December and hold on to the guys they got, it's going to be a very strong class and a very deep class.
I want to ask you about the situation with Jones. I know you posted on the board, and you're absolutely right, that you can't win them all. But my curiosity, and maybe it has to do with what happened in basketball with Deshaun Gorey, and was talking to Furtig about it the other day, and he had talked to the coaching staff. And, you know, Gorey was very happy here. He had no problems with playing time. He liked his teammates. He liked his coaches. And he said it came down to one thing, and that is it's all about the Benjamins. He was offered a couple hundred thousand more to go to Oregon State and, you know, was telling people privately sort of wishes he was still here, but he also has his money. It's understandable. You can't fault anybody, particularly if you may not have a professional career waiting for you afterward. Is there any part of you that wonders if money tipped the scales with Jones? I'm just curious, and I know you probably don't have any empirical data about that. Any hunch, or was that something that did not have anything to do with this decision?
Yeah, I don't think so. Just, you know, I don't think there's a lot of money flying around for freshmen in the Pac-12 right now.
Right, yeah, they haven't proved it. Yeah, yeah.
Fresno State did beat out San Diego State, Oregon State, Washington State for a lot of other commits in this class, so I think for not everyone wants to stay home in Fresno, especially we've seen from Central East, it's been tough to keep some of those kids home. Thankfully, that trend changed a little bit to get Bayon Harris and RJ Jefferson from the same program, first time since 05. And you know, if you would have told me the Bulldogs were getting 3 out of 3 or 0 out of 3, I probably would have predicted 0 out of 3 a couple of months back. So 2 out of 3 is awesome for Fresno State here. I know Jones is a very talented receiver as well. Some of these schools have been offering a chance to play both ways or even exclusively on offense. So that didn't appear to be an option for Fresno State, given how deep the receiver class is already. I know just talking to Jones about his options, he did like the area and being near the beach. So maybe that was enough to turn the tide. But I think Fresno State did everything they could have done here, and he just opted to leave town, which is, you know, you're going to get some of that.
Yeah, and we talked about the fact that he was effusive in praise of every school. So I don't have any issue with it. I think there was a level of disappointment because as much as you're correct that odds say you're not going to hold on to all of them, when you get real close to holding on to all of them, I think you sort of take that leap, don't you, Jack? That it's just maybe you're going to roll sevens the entire time?
Yeah. he's probably the one that of all those players that got away was the closest to coming to Fresno State. So that stings a little bit. And especially, I really like his game at cornerback. Hope he plays cornerback at the next level. I think J.D. Williams would have gotten him right. But, you know, best luck to him wherever he lands and how things work out at San Diego State, unless something changes between now and signing day.
Well, I told you that Williams was part of the promotion for the IndyCar race at Elkhart Lake in Wisconsin wearing his Packer gear, and I'm still irritated about that decision, but you know, it's worked out for him too, so you can't fault him. The five to play five and some of the things coming up, do you say you never say never about a guy coming home, or is it going to be more difficult to do that in the years to come? Or do you say as long as you have at least that one get out of commitment card that you're going to see guys moving around still at least one time?
Yeah, it's, I think you always, in this day and age, keep those connections open. Try to keep the best relationship you can with the local recruits, even if they don't commit to Fresno State. And Jaden Spurgeon's a good example. He's heading to Cal. You know, if things don't work out at Cal for whatever reason in a couple of years, maybe you can lure him back into town and be a Bulldog. So you know, I thought when the portal became a thing and you weren't going to have transfers happen, or you weren't going to have to sit out at least a transfer, that it might be a bigger storyline of recruits that we saw from the Valley for a long time leave, or especially the Power Four type of targets leave, and maybe there would be an easier path to get them back into town. But with the current landscape and the portal eating up a lot of the scholarships, it just seems like there's a larger net now for Fresno State to get those guys to stay home in the first place. There's not as many Power Four schools coming to the Valley to get those same kids that they often would. So at least from that aspect, it's worked out a bit for Fresno State, and the staff had a lot of viable targets and they were able to win them over. So excited to see. And also there's any movement later, I will say for Fresno State, if they keep retaining players the way they are, they're not going to need to bring in many transfers. So there might not be a whole lot of thought for some of these guys to come back unless they really fit a need. So that's another one to track here if the staff's here for the long haul.
Interesting point. You know, when USC really had it going under Pete Carroll, which obviously is long before NIL. Now, what else was going on there? I'm not exactly sure, since Reggie Bush was supplying houses for his family. Having been said that, you know, Pete Carroll talked about the fact that the redshirt rule didn't do SC any good because he said they were bringing in so many great recruits every year that they really could not afford to load up on redshirts. The churn rate was so great that a lot of the guys, they had to tell them to move on. Now, Fresno State is not in that position, but certainly this coaching staff has done an incredible job, Jackson, of not only stocking the shelves full, but the depth is there, which, as you talked to me the other day, is critical because you are going to lose guys, whether it's injury or transfer or what have you, and NIL exacerbates that. So you just keep developing those players, right, and feel if you have depth that you will be able to survive people leaving, whether it's the frontline guys or the ones right behind them, et cetera, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. And I think with this type of deep class coming off of last year, bringing in about 26 freshmen or so in the 2026 class, half of them are already on campus for spring. You've got now 21 commitments for Fresno State so far. And again, they've addressed just about every position except for the secondary. You assume they'll end up with the two or three commits there at the very least. So you're probably talking about 24 or 25 commits. So, handful of preferred walk-ons as well. This is a program. They've set the foundation now where they're going to bring in 25 to 30 freshmen every year. And so you bring in two or three of those classes in a row, I think you're going to get enough guys to pan out that they're going to be ready to step in. We've already seen them, the players they inherited, get them ready to go. So that is the plan. And of this last class, we saw 13 transfers and a couple of junior college recruits. I think they want to get that number down even more. I think if they could have about 10 spots open for transfers and junior college players and really invest in the high school level, that's about the route they would go.
When we look at the 2027 class, and again, Jackson has posted the full 21 on the board, the insider part of the board. It's another reason to get a subscription. Who jumps out at you offensively? First of all, we'll talk about the quarterbacks in specificity, but in addition to the quarterback room, who jumps out at you offensively right now that you're seeing for 2027? And again, these are just commitments right now, so you never say never about that either. So that's the proviso.
Yeah, I think it's not to harp on the receiver class again, but each one of those four players, if they would have kept just one of them, I'd be very excited about that singular player, but the fact they're getting all four is pretty wild. DeMarvin Riley is a player who is just such an electric athlete. If he wasn't 5'9", if he was 6', he'd be, I think, like a five-star type of player. He's just incredibly electric with the ball in his hands, but undersized and just the perfect range there for Fresno State to keep him, fortunately. Same with Bayon Harris on the other end of things, kind of a jumbo receiver almost, and incredibly talented, big time get to keep him home. I also think Alondra Jefferson is a very talented weapon. He's, you know, might have some of the best ball skills and just kind of all around to his game. And then A.J. Williams, Hanford now equivalent, so that's at 6'3", just very athletic, very fast for his size, tall, long, just a really intriguing weapon. I think he's got maybe the most room to grow, too, maybe the highest ceiling that he hasn't quite reached yet. So that whole room is really exciting. But otherwise, you know, they've got a couple of kind of under-the-radar tight ends. Curious to see how that group pans out. That running back, they've got a nice bunch of lightning and thunder there with Lamont McDonald out of Hayward and Jason Williams out of Sacramento. I think those two, it's an intriguing group. I think they might be able to outplay their evaluations too, especially in this scheme. I think they're players that can come in and contribute early in some capacity. They're going to keep playing four or five running backs weekly at Fresno State. So just really excited about all the weapons. And it's fun talking to those local receivers, especially, you know, you think about a hypothetical where those four, and maybe Harold Duvall, you throw him in the mix, and maybe Deegan Rose is a quarterback in a couple of years, and could be quite the valley flair to the offense. So I'm excited to see how that pans out.
We'll get to the quarterbacks as far as the specific skill set, but I want to ask you about the defense because – and, you know, look, we talked about the philosophy going into last year, and we saw it manifest itself, and that is Fresno State is going to play close games. They're going to run the football. It doesn't mean the wide receivers are not going to get their chance, and they may very well, in Martin, have a quarterback that can get the ball to them efficiently. But this is a team that's going to rely upon Benedetto's defense, and we figure to have a lot of clutch games, a lot of 5 minutes to go, very, very close games. When you see the 2027 class defensively, are you as impressed as what you have seen that will be playing this year, as far as what you've seen in advance of the guys that we know will be playing this year?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the linebackers, the two that they've got in this class. Grant Moser out of local Buchanan High School is a really unusual athlete. He's standing about 6'5", 215, real tall and long. He plays a lot of receiver and tight end and runs routes with their quarterback, Tommy Devaney. He's a big-time 28 quarterback, and he fits in on offense. You know, he's kind of an unusual linebacker with his length, but you see him out there, and he does cover a lot of ground with all that length, especially dropping back into coverage. So I think that's an interesting weapon to add into the defense, along with Jeremy Davis, who was a Fresno State against Boise State type of battle down the stretch in his recruitment. He's a young man who went through a battle with leukemia earlier as a high schooler and has overcome that. And had he not gone through that, probably would have been a lot more well-known on the recruiting radar, even more so than he is. He's still one of the Bulldogs' better-ranked commits in the class. So a very unique story there, and also a very athletic, talented player. Again, I think probably in a couple of years, you're looking at a player that you're wondering why his recruitment wasn't even more than it was. And then on the defensive line, just a lot of faith in the defensive coaches Fresno State has on the D-line to find talent and figure out what to do with them. I've been impressed with how they've turned players last year that didn't have much experience, especially at tackle, into very talented, very capable players. You look at Dejon Lapete, Martin Owusu, and they got it done, and they hadn't played much college football before that. And a lot of the D-line in this class is a little bit under the radar, undervalued, but you know, they went out and did their scouting. They got confidence in what they found there. Javon Rogers out of Texas is the one that stands out ratings-wise. If they can hold on to him, and it would be nice to have it tackled. But they've got a knack for just finding really good athletes on the edge and certain players that are going to swell up a little bit and grow into their bodies a little more, maybe slide them inside and figure out how to develop those guys. I got a lot of confidence they're going to get that done.
Well, I hope people check it out on the board. I want to ask you quickly here, is the 50% off the insider board still applicable right now?
Yes, it's 50% off. It's a little over $5 a month that way for the annual year to join.
It's well worth it, and particularly with us rolling so quickly toward the season with July starting tomorrow, then you know, we'll have them with their workouts and the conditioning still going on, a little bit of a break, and then, of course, it'll be time, as we've talked over and over again, for the very apropos fall camp in Fresno in August, because the nip is always in the air in this town in August. I keep telling you, wear that stadium jacket. It's the running joke all the time when you're out there in August, because it's fall. You know, watch the leaves turning and wear your stadium jacket, and then wait for somebody to take you to the emergency ward, because you're going to have heat prostration. But it's fall camp. I guess could we call it summer camp, or does that sound too much like kids having a good time around the lake, right?
Yeah, well, in 2027, they're going to cut fall camp down by 4 practices. So maybe if it starts on August 9th, it'll feel a little slightly more like fall compared to some years.
No, it won't. You grew up around here. Don't ever delude yourself and think it's starting on August 9th. It's going to feel a little bit more like fall. I got news for you, pal. It could be October 9th. It still doesn't feel like fall in this town, as you know. See, that's going to be my takeaway from 70 years. It's going to be the relentless and never-ending sun, which is always great to have, but the fact that once you got to about April, you better hitch it up tight, boys, because it's going to be November to get out of the heat. And I have no problem with it, because I love the heat, but I just know that fall hardly exists. Like we've somehow lost winter in this town. I don't know what happened to that thing either. All right, that having been said, I do want to ask you in regard to this year's team, quarterbacking first and foremost, and how it relates to what we might see next year. What are we going to see from Martin, and how long do you think we're going to see it?
Yeah, there's still a lot of variables. You know, first, he's got to earn the job, and if he has a great year,
yes,
that might be it. You know, if he has, I think about Joshua Wood at Fresno State last year. He went to Idaho. I think the plan was kind of to get a starting job, have a really good season, and maybe get a payday somewhere else. And, you know, missed a couple of games with injury. It took a little while to get comfortable, and all of a sudden, he's spending another year with the Vandals, which still might not be a bad thing. He still might be a very valuable option on the portal market after this year. But same kind of thing with Martin, perhaps, if that is the idea. You know, everything has to go right for such a circumstance to play out. If it does, you still have Jaden Mandel with another year. You've got a lot of young quarterbacks on this roster. Also, will be a year older and more viable. Of course, Mandel's fighting for the job right now to be the quarterback this year. And if he wins it, I don't think he would relinquish it the following season either. And now the Bulldogs have Colton Cannehill in the 2027 class coming in. And he's a 6'6", 235-pound quarterback who has got a rocket arm. You know, he's got some things to work on, but as far as size and arm strength go, he's going to be D1 ready. So if Martin starts, it's all going to boil down to whether he's back or not for the following season. And you know, a lot of dominoes fall depending on whichever way that it turns out to be this August and September.
Well, I hope he is the kind of guy that this program can plug and play. We talked about the great start that Mikey Keene had against Purdue, but whether it was injury or the problems on the line or what have you, it just did not work out long-term the way we thought. Now, Martin's a bigger guy, much bigger guy than Keene, and we know, much like Marcus McMarion's time here, what Matt Entz wants is what Teddy got from Marcus McMarion, which is a quarterback that could make the big play, whether it was his arm or his legs, but didn't make the big mistake. And as we talked over and over again, Jackson, if you're going to play the style of ball that Matt Entz wants to play, your quarterback just can't be playing fast and loose with the football. How confident are you that you've got a quarterback or quarterbacks right now on this roster that understand that and are able to execute that?
I believe so. Of course, you got to wait and see with either of them, particularly Martin, if he's the guy. He hasn't played a whole lot of D1 football to have a large resume. You know, with Warner, you kind of knew what you were getting, and we saw more of that at Fresno State last year. But Martin's a little bit of a wild card. I think you look at the practice film and what they expect from him, it is to be a rather conservative quarterback. Complement the running game, try to get those one-on-one matchups outside. That's what the plan was last year. And I think they had to even dial that back a little bit just to be safe with the quarterbacks that they did have out there. So, I mean, on paper, it looks like they're going to figure that out. But you know, you just never know with the quarterback until he's under pressure. He's got a tough situation if he makes the right call or makes the conservative call there.
One more time, you do not want in Warner, unfortunately. And with him, past was prologue because what we saw in the two previous stops he had, Dimple and Rice, that he was the kind of quarterback that would play just well enough to get you beat, which means a couple of good throws, maybe even four or five, and then the one that leaves you scratching your head or worse because it's the turnover that kills you. And I know that as much as we talked about Teddy, every coach hates turnovers. It drove Tedford crazy when he was a coach here. And I know that Matt Entz, in the way the Bulldogs play, cannot afford the mistakes. You just can't. And when you've got the trio of running backs back, I guess we're back to that same situation, right? If the offensive line can hold up, if they can and enable the Bulldogs, even if there's some three and outs, enable the Bulldogs more time than not to control the football with some first downs. All they're asking, Jackson, is to get to that last 5 minutes with a chance to win, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. I think that was the plan last year and again this year, but we did see there was quite a few weeks where that running game and the strong defense put them in a position to be quite a bit ahead, and even the losses, quite a few of those, the Bulldogs fell behind when things weren't working. So you got to get yourself in that spot. And we saw at Oregon State, a prime example, just get to the finish line and have a chance and make the plays when they count. That was perfect. Special teams helped a little bit get there. But if you can have that O-line turning the way it is and the running game the way it can, you have a chance to go to Boise State and do what you did against them too.
Well, it was a frustrating year last year because games like Colorado State changed things so much when, by and large, even though it was a really good season, they were on the precipice of an outstanding year. The challenges this year in conference, and again, look, it does look like the Mountain West because most of it is the Mountain West coming over, but it is the cream of the crop of the Mountain West, and you have Oregon State and Washington State and some prognostication already saying the Bulldogs aren't going to have a great year. I disagree with that, Jackson. I think if this team does not beat itself, and Matt Entz's teams, whether you're talking about at FCS level or now, they don't beat themselves most of the time. That's quite the contrary you're going to see. I think the Bulldogs have an excellent chance to be a really, really good team this year. Is that me being overly optimistic?
No, I think so as well. And I think a lot of it's going to determine with momentum. Just you look at the schedule, obviously at USC is going to be a tough one, but it's going to be favored the next 3 weeks. And then you've got three more weeks that could pretty much define your whole conference season just right out of the gate at Washington State versus Boise State, San Diego State. So if you can be hitting at the right time and get those at least two out of three, if not all three, you'll be in really good shape down the final stretch. I think as far as the conference as a whole, it's kind of tough to pin Fresno State exactly. I mean, I've seen from two to five from different prognosticators. Seems like the odds makers are a little bit closer to five, and some of the other outlets are a little bit closer to three. But I think one to five, Boise State included, there's not much of a gap. And home field advantage is going to play a part of that. That's one thing that will be a challenge for the Bulldogs, having three home games and four road games. But also, I don't think 6 through 8 is going to be a cakewalk either. As we saw with Fresno State losing to Colorado State last year, it can happen. So I think there's going to be a lot of parity. It's hard for me to see one team going perfect. And also, again, those teams at the bottom aren't going to be so easy either. So Bulldogs, I like the team that they have. I like the system that they run to be competitive week in and week out. And if you can get 6 out of 7, you could be playing in the conference championship game. So I think that's kind of the hope there.
Now, Jackson will be with me on Thursday this week because, of course, Friday's a holiday, so we will not be on. And then Jackson will be up next Monday. Paul will be on later in the week. And then Jackson's going to be out of town for a few weeks, so we'll miss him greatly. I want to set this up for Thursday. We will talk more about the quarterbacks for next year in addition to this year when we talk on Thursday. But what I did want to ask you about, Jackson, is one more time here. If you were to pick a singular concern position grouping for this 2026 year, is it still the offensive line? Is it more about the defensive line and getting pressure on the quarterback? What is the biggest worry you have, the biggest concern you have going into the year?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, don't have a whole ton of concerns. I mean, quarterback's probably the biggest one. Just if they get that figured out, they've got a lot going for them on this team. I think O-line on the interior is probably the biggest question mark personnel-wise. They have to break in a couple of starters there, but when you have the tackles you do, you figure the O-line's going to work out pretty okay, at the very least. And I think probably my biggest concern outside of quarterback is more about depth. I just look at cornerback and linebacker. Well, there's a couple of question marks already, and if you lose a starter or two along the way, you might be breaking in some players that you don't know a whole lot about right now. So you know, if they have a quarterback, if the interior line shakes out, if the defense stays healthy, it's hard to find many concerns about what this team's going to be this year.
Well, we're hitting July tomorrow, and then, you know, the home stretch, still a lot of the long, hot wait for September 4, but certainly looking forward to it. Jackson, I appreciate it one more time for everybody. Get that insider board sub at 50% off, and you and I will talk on Thursday, my friend. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Our de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule, and you're off to Phil, and a lot going on around the world of sport, and Phil will have that for you. And again, mark it down, 559-320-1430, the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how you can reach Phil. Take a break. On this Tuesday, the Bulldog Hour continues on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:52, about 3 minutes to go in the show. Phil coming up, his fine show behind the bench, take you to 6. Giants coming up on 1430, the A's over on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule right now. Courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. This is one of the very best businesses, not only in the Valley, but across the entirety of the country. And Ed, graduate of Fresno State, a terrific benefactor. And as I mentioned before, he, Joe Cruz, the guys that sponsor the shows, wish we had more like him to help out. And I commend those four young businessmen that are helping out the basketball program right now. Anyway, as far as Precision Civil Engineering goes, through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, Ed has been able to be a benefactor for many years, and the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. He's worked beautifully over the years, and we thank Ed for his sponsorship. As far as the lineup goes, Phil, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with his great show, Behind the Bench. Best furniture on the planet at Fashion, El Paso across from River Park. They have the red, white, and blue sale going on right now. Stop by and see Phil on Thursday. Stop by and see Rod Avedicki and everybody at Fashion Furniture every day. When Phil is there, of course, you have the great conversation of the show, some good eats as well. You can always give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline. If you can't make it in person, that's 559-320-1430. Gonzo has his terrific show back with us in the morning now. That's the Valley Rise Show, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Again, you can reach him on the same Lee's Air Hotline. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. I can't answer the emails privately at this point, but I will try to do whatever I can over the air, even if it is not necessarily about Fresno State this time of year. Paul Metters also has two fine shows with us, long-running both, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on 790 Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. That's Sunbird Sports Show. And then the long-running show on Saturday mornings on 1430 Live from First String Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You get the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Again, starting tomorrow with the official flagship, once again, of Fresno State Athletics. Anything you can do to help out the partnership, Bulldog Sports Enterprises, and the university contact people at the station. Enrique's there, Chris is there, Nico, Ryan, the entire gang there to help you. They'd love to have you involved. As far as our lineup tonight, Giants try to break the 7-game losing streak against the D-backs. They will start with a pre at 6:10, a 6:40 from Phoenix. The A's will face the Dodger fans, making it a home game in Sacramento again tonight. They're pre just after 6 o'clock and a 6:40 start there. Quick notes, Serena Williams, close match, but lost today in her comeback at Wimbledon. We've already seen Norway survive in the World Cup. France leads Sweden 1-0 right now at halftime, and then Mexico and Ecuador coming up on Big Fox at 6 o'clock. Thanks again to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Jackson Moore. Thanks, of course, to Gunner for his great work on the board. Phil is coming up. Give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline. I'm back tomorrow to talk basketball with Jack Ferdig on KFIG Fresno.